Romans chapter 3. Have you ever thought about what caused Christmas? What caused it? You say, well, the birth of Jesus caused Christmas, as a quick shoot-from-the-hip response. That's true. But have you thought this Advent season of what caused Christ Jesus to be born, to be willing to take on human flesh and live among us? What caused him? What caused him to want to come and rescue all of mankind? We all certainly need a rescuer. Life is terrifying. And the lack of a rescuer leaves you wondering about God. Does he know? Do you care for me? Why won't you rescue me? Jesus came to rescue you. Jesus came to rescue you, to be your rescuer. The challenge this day is to accept Jesus as your Savior, to commit your life to loving and following Him totally, and then building your life on the truth of grace. That is the cause of Christmas. We're going to read Romans 3. We're going to start in verse 19 and go through 31. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God publicly displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, is one. Do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. What caused Christmas? Jesus came to be the rescuer because no one can rescue themselves. This is really the why of Christmas, the cause of Christmas. No one can be good enough to please God. Did you catch what Jack and I know we were having some microphone difficulties? I think we were having some speaker difficulties. That grace is a gift. We're so into earning something that we think that if we're just good enough, if we just do this or if we just do that. But Christmas is about a gift. No one can rescue themselves. Paul starts out in the middle of chapter 3 here, dealing first with the Jews. They possess conceit. We are God's people. I was born a Jew. I'm just a little bit better. And that's what they thought. And Paul is saying, no, it's not because you're a Jew. And the Jews thought that because they were recipients of the law, keeping the law as far as they wanted to keep it, made them right with God. And all the law does is put us in a defenseless position. It put them in a defenseless position because all the law does is point out where we mess up. How many times have you messed up today? I guarantee you more than once. And Paul is saying to us that Jesus came to be our rescuer. The law pointed out where we mess up. It pointed out sin. It shows where you do not live up to God's holiness. I'm in the middle of a project for my granddaughter. I'm supposed to be making it for Christmas. My question the other day was, what Christmas are we talking about? I have a bit of OCD about me because every time I cut a little bit and it's not exactly what I think it's supposed to be, I just get... And that's what the law does. It points out every flaw. So it's not about keeping the law, and that's what the Jews thought. All of us. Paul makes a blanket statement, but it's absolutely true that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. All of us. No one is right before God on their own account. And verse 27 wipes out any possible boasting of keeping the law. You are not good enough. Where is boasting? It is excluded. You cannot rescue yourself. While not a big fan of reality TV, the ones having to do with singing have drawn our attention, and over the years we have watched American Idol. Particularly, I love the first few episodes because they're sorting out what they call talent. And it just amazes me to watch these people that cannot carry the literal or the figurative tune in a bucket sing. And there are two things that amaze me. One is that what people will do for their 15 seconds of fame. The other is that as terrible as some of them are, and horrible is a word that comes to mind, they think they're good. They think they sing well. Maybe that's the person who says, I'm good enough before God. Terrible, horrible, sinful. But in their minds, because it's all about them, I'm good enough. And Paul says, no, you're not. And Jesus came because, no, you're not. Formulate your response to this question. Think for a minute. When you stand before God and He asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? What will you say? Everybody got your answer? Some of us will probably say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I really haven't done anything wrong. Well, I'm an American. Well, I'm a church member. The best one I've ever heard anybody give was, please. I had a guy give his testimony once, and I honestly don't remember his name. I can tell you a whole lot about him. I can tell you. But I remember his testimony because in his verbal accounting of his life, he made no mention of being saved by Christ. He made no mention of that time in my life when I was 8 years old, when I knew that there was something missing in my life. And I didn't understand. You don't have to understand. I just knew that I needed Jesus in my life. He gave no account of anything like that. Years back, you may remember the book title, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. Well, why does bad things happen to good people? The truth is, there are no good people. You're not good, I'm not good. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. We're all people who are lost in need of a rescuer. And that is the cause of Christmas. Jesus came to be the rescuer for all who will accept His gift through faith. Paul makes the contrast that apart from the law, the righteousness of God is here. Remember the transfiguration of Jesus where Moses and Elijah appear? Moses, the law, and Elijah representing the prophets. The Old Testament pointed to what God would do through Christ. We celebrate Christmas because the Savior has come. We celebrate Christmas because the one who came to rescue, the one who needed to be rescued, I celebrate because He has come. We are saved by His gift through faith. And all of this, Paul says, by the grace of Christ. Now, this is the definition of grace. Very simple, God's unmerited favor. It's when you get something that you don't deserve. And the truth be told, that's going to be every one of us Christmas morning. Isn't that true? But the greatest gift, is to know Him as your Savior. To know Him. To love Him and to follow Him. That's the greatest gift. And grace is directly opposed to works. Your contribution to your salvation is zip, zero, nada. Not a thing. In fact, grace and works are mutually exclusive. If you think that you're going to depend on grace and your works will just make it that much better, then you don't understand either works or grace because they're mutually exclusive. Because legalism, keeping the law, some think it's that because we're legalistic. Kind of like me and my woodworking project. If it's a 32nd of an inch off, but we can't control that. We think, though, that if we can control it, then we're good. But the law does not set us free. The law binds us up. Heart freedom happens when you recognize God's claim on your life. When you hear Jesus say, "Follow me," and you begin to follow. Faith is not mere mental assent. Faith is followership, if I can coin a phrase. Christmas is about grace. Christmas is about Jesus, our rescuer. Chuck Swindoll tells of two incidents where folks did something for him and his reaction. He said, one time my family and I were out eating in a restaurant and there was a couple from our church over in the corner, he said. They kind of waved when they came in. When the couple got ready to leave, they came by and talked for a minute. Chuck and his family got up to leave after that and went up to pay, and the person said, "It's all paid for." "Well, I'll leave a tip." "No, that's taken care of too." Then he tells the story of being at home, and a guy came over to wash the windows inside and out. And if that person would like to come to our house, we can let them wash inside and out. Chuck said, "I had a hard time saying fine." And he paced back and forth. He just couldn't handle something absolutely free. God's grace says, "I've picked up the tab. I'll take care of everything inside and out." What's the nicest thing anyone ever did for you? Don't discount parents. Housing and feeding and clothing and washing clothes and washing stuff. Maybe it's a gift someone performed. What Jesus did is infinitely nicer, infinitely better, infinitely more needed. You don't have to be good or earn His favor or catch His eye. You need to be rescued. You need to be rescued, and Jesus came to rescue. No one can rescue themselves. Everyone needs a rescuer, and that's the cause of Christmas. When Jesus rescues you, He makes up for everything you lack. Grace brought you close when you were far off. Grace stands you up when you're down. Grace fills all the needs in your life. Paul uses three words, three word pictures to explain how Jesus made up for everything. The first word is the term justified. It's a legal term. It's when you're as guilty, what do we say? When you're as guilty as sin, being made right. That's the first word he uses, this word justified. It's not to be made innocent. It's not doing the time required in jail. It's that the heart is changed. Your character is changed. That's what being justified means. The second word is redemption. It speaks of being enslaved, being a slave bound by shackles. A person who has been kidnapped, and this idea of redemption is for to pay the price. And that's what Jesus did. The third word picture he uses is the word propitiation, and that's a big doctrinal term, but it talks about, it has to do with the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. And what the people would do once a year, the high priest would come in, and he would come before the Ark, and he would literally lay something down on top of the ark, signifying that the people had laid their sins on the Ark of the Covenant. And if that's all he had done, we would still be in trouble and they would still be in trouble. But propitiation also is the second part of the picture there. When after the priest had come in all he may have done was laid his hands on it, on the ark, and said, "Lord God, Yahweh, we have laid our sins here." He would also come in with blood, the blood of the sacrifice, and he would sprinkle the blood over the sins, and the blood covered it. And that's what Jesus has done. Not only has he justified us, not only has he redeemed us, he is the propitiation for our sins. He is the means of payment. He makes up for everything you lack. One thing that happened to me while in Honduras that I know I have told some of you in private conversation, but I didn't mention last Sunday, was I thought I'd lost my suitcase. We get off the airplane, Steve Houston and I, and their government is just like our government. We stood in line for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half, trying to get through customs. And when we come out, and those of you who have been in that airport with us there in Tegucigalpa know it's not a real big place. We come out, and Steve immediately says, "Hey, there's my suitcase." And so I go over there, and I look, and I look, and I look, and I see some more suitcases over here. And so I go, and I look, and I look. I did that twice. I go over to talk to the Delta Airlines people. "Oh, no, sir, your bag is here." So I thought, okay, I'm a man. Men sometimes have been known to not find things. So I go and I look again. And I go and look again. And then I go get Miss Delta. And Miss Delta is a young Hispanic lady, and she speaks real good English. And she comes out and she's looking around too. And she says, "Well, maybe someone took it and they'll bring it back." Well, about three steps later, she's got a radio, or she had talked to somebody. "Sir, your suitcase is out." Whew. Not only would it have been bad to have not had that stuff, my clothes and stuff, the whole reason we went down there was in that suitcase. And I thought, what are we going to do? Now imagine for a minute that the lady didn't bring it back. What are we going to do? We start out. We go out to the truck to get in and go on anyway. And there somebody is with a suitcase for me. Not my suitcase, a better suitcase. Not my clothes, better clothes, better fan, better everything. That's grace. A gazillion times better. That's grace. That's grace. What is Jesus this morning? Think for a minute. What is Jesus making up for in your life? eternally a place in the kingdom. Grace also provides all you need today. All you need today. Strength to keep going, determination and abilities to complete tasks, hope when things seem hopeless. Let's go back in our minds to the guy in the video. Some might say that he got what he deserved in that video. A ride on the conveyor belt and some seriously painful injuries as a result of his seriously rude, obnoxious, and painful responses to people. Others might say that he got what he did not deserve, a Christmas gift laced with grace from one of the people whom he so crudely offended in the store that day. Regardless, he entered the store with pride and exited with more humility. And in his humbled state, he became a candidate to receive one of the gifts of Christmas, which is grace. Remember what he said? Religion is wanting to be right, but grace is wanting to be right with others and with God. When you can stop and consider your life, do you realize how much you need grace? God's grace? Or do you find yourself counting on your performance? Are you counting on the provision of Christ? Are you counting on the fact that Christmas is about Christ becoming our rescuer? Have you committed your life to Christ? Grace, the cause of Christmas.